Welcome to week 7 of the Balls Deep Football League podcast. It's a Tuesday night as of this recording. It'll be available on a Wednesday morning, so we have Wednesday and the rest of the week to enjoy it, to marinate on it. Sorry, I cannot speak today.
Good.
How you doing, Nappy Nap?
Good, man. I lost another week, but you know what's new? I'm good. I'm breathing. I'm alive.
We'll talk about that because I'm interested to see where your mind and your head's at on that one specifically.
The mind of a loser, huh? All right. You want to get in the mind of a loser? All right.
I mean, I'll just ask you now. How are you feeling? Are you done for the season? Are you looking to sell the farm and get ready for next season, acquire draft picks, or is there some fight left in there?
There's still some fight left. Every week it's almost a little tougher challenge that's still enticing, though, you know, because, you know, right combo of players will get it done, but definitely if it was a trade, I got no more pieces left to trade, so it's going to have to be through the waiver wire. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. Haven't spent my budget yet, my fab. They like to call it their free agent, but, you know, budget, so I can drop it any moment now, you know what I'm saying? Christian McCaffrey might go jet skiing or something.
Do you want to get into recapping a little bit of last week? Is that what we've kind of settled into on the introduction here before we get into
topics of the day? At least just fantasy-wise, I think it'd be great to open with injuries and things like that. Then that kind of leads you into who to pick up and then who to stash and then round it out. You know what I'm saying? There are some good NFL headlines, though. But, yeah, as far as injuries, bro, you know, we don't talk QB much on this little pod. But, you know, Justin Fields, right? Couple weeks if his shit ain't torn. Jimmy G, I don't think it's internal injuries, but
yeah, so what
they
was
got an MRI or something, right?
For him. So Jimmy G left the game, back injury, and then it was later
they reported. Wanted to check, yeah.
He went to the hospital, they took him to the hospital in the game, so like that was kind of serious. I didn't even hear where we landed on that. There was
when it's the major, like that spine type area, that automatic hospital, right? Because if it's back and then it's going to lead to one thing, the domino starts falling and other shit starts getting hurt. So I guess that's why he was at the hospital. That's why I read about internal injuries. They were checking on him for that, you know? So not sure yet though, right? Waiting on the MRI or whatever.
So as far
as fantasy impact though, I mean, the Bears are still kind of trying to figure out who's going to step up at running back with Khalil Herbert out on IR, you know. As far as Jimmy G and the Raiders, they're all still must start. So no real, like, it's all obvious there on what to do. I think, you know, doesn't really impact the surrounding cast, I say.
Yeah, so I just seeing a little article on NFL.com just kind of saying that he dodged a big bullet. They thought there was an injury, like you said, an internal injury.
Okay, so he's safe.
Trying to see what they're saying about his timeout. Because that does affect a little bit. We'll get into that about the waiver wire pickups and who's been performing.
But if it's going to be Hoyer, I think Hoyer will still distribute the ball. He can still make competent throws, at least when you got a Davante Adams throwing.
Yeah, he just can't play. Yeah, he just can't play in the playoffs against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's all.
Or all four quarters. You know what I mean? He might be good two quarters in. But hey, you know. So everyone else in the fantasy wars pointing to the Josh McDaniels connection, him and that, and he'll get the best out of him. So. Receiver though, man, Debo, you know, I think does it D who has Debo, but there's another guy waiting on an MRI, I think an AC joint or a sprain or something. Might be good for Brandon Ayuk fans, might be good for Kittle fans that are still holding out. You know, Kittle just had another dud. You know, we've been saying cut ties with Kittle all along, you know, at least this season. I mean, fall off the cliff, you fall off, man. That brand name, right? We used to depend on that Kittle, and
yeah, I mean, with the 49ers in general, I think you saw they lost to the Browns this past week, which was a big shocker. But the Browns are playing pretty good defense. I think I saw a stat that they have allowed the least total yards in the first 5 games of the season, I believe.
And that was all defense, too. If you happen to pop that game and see it, like, I mean, this is a Niners offense. You're talking about that, you know, just shut out what the Cowboys the week before or whoever it was. They've been steamrolling, motherfucker. Brock Purdy's first loss, right? So these boys been steamrolling, man. And to have Cleveland do that, to have PJ Walker come in, you know, who would have thought the Browns were going to be the ones to knock the Niners, you know, first loss column, and it'd be without their starting $230 million massage loving quarterback.
We've said this before, but it's kind of funny that Deshaun Watson and PJ Walker have ended up in the same roster, because when Deshaun was in Houston, PJ was I'm pretty sure it was at the same time. But PJ was
either
playing
in
in the XFL,
Carolina
right?
or yeah, correct. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, he was
So,
roughnecking. Yeah,
yeah, he was
XFL
roughing it.
legend, bro, 5-0,
Yeah.
roughnecking.
But yeah, that was a. Was it safe to say? I mean, I think it maybe goes without saying that the formula to beat the
The
49ers
Niners there.
is to put it all on Brock Purdy because we've heard a few chitter chatters about he's a system quarterback. Well, and that's a kind of funny thing to say because it's like, well, yeah, I mean, every quarterback's a
Y'all are,
system
right?
quarterback.
It's been
Yeah,
that argument, right? Yeah,
you
been that
work in a
argument
system.
for years.
It's more just like they really rely on their defense and the running game. That whole thing, and but if they get behind and Brock Purdy has to like put it on his shoulders, that's probably how they lose the games.
Yeah.
And it's not
Yeah,
that,
first it was the line of scrimmage. First, that's what it was. The Browns won the line of scrimmage. And then it was like you said, they were making Purdy wait to throw. It wasn't that automatic 1-2 second, like
yeah.
two
And it
step
wasn't that they
drop.
got behind, I mean, it was a pretty close game most of the time, so it wasn't that they had to come from behind. But I've noticed like it a few times it forced Purdy to kind of push it downfield. Not that he can't, he's had some nice fields down. Throws downfield. Sorry, man, I'm all over with my words
No,
today.
it's just a, like you said, it's a rhythm offense. I think that's what the new term
Yes.
is now. 10 years ago, it was system quarterback, but now it's almost like rhythm quarterback. You know what I mean? Niners got to snap the ball, go. That's why CJ Stroud looks so good. Like he's making his progressions fast. I think that's just the rhythm of the offense, and they did not let that boy Purdy settle in all day. You know what I'm saying? His rhythm was just off, bro. I mean, it
And
was
then
evident, man.
another takeaway from that game, not that to get bogged down into one single game, but Amari Cooper, we know it, we've said it, his
Yeah.
strength is going up and getting the
About
ball.
time.
But man,
Yeah, bro.
he had some really nice catches, like contested catches, like exactly what you kind of pick him
Clinic.
for. And that game that goes longevity, and I think Greg Olsen was even commenting on like, the speed isn't as there as much as it was, but dude's still like balling out in terms of catching it and robbing it away. Like he was catching contested balls between two defenders, not just one defender,
Yeah.
like multiple times being double teamed. So I saw him somewhere else on a like sit and start, start these players, sit these players, which is
Yeah.
funny to me because it's like if you have a good player, especially in
You ain't
like a,
sitting his ass.
you're not sitting his ass in a 12 person
Just
league.
because
So
the defense is in colored red that
yeah,
week. You know
exactly.
what I
It's like,
mean?
so.
Come on, bro.
Like, I mean, I know it's like, I'm glad we don't really do like the start and sits because it's more like if you have a good player, I'm not gonna put him in over some like third
So
string
happy we don't
person.
do that. Yeah,
Yeah,
for sure, for
it's
sure.
like the obvious picks are just kind of annoying. But yeah, anyway, we're gonna get to
Hey, we
topics
should
here.
before we hop into it. Yeah, I want to close out with a running back's going to be a big one that we'll talk about later, right? But having both Montgomery and your boy Jahmyr Gibbs potentially out, I'm telling you, these doors opening more and more every year for these other RBs to just pop the fuck out of nowhere. And it being week 7 in the thick of it, I mean, it's only going to keep happening. So I hope you saved your free agent budget money for what we talk about later. And if you didn't, I mean, you're gonna have to get these boys later. You know, or you're gonna have to stash some of these boys now, you know, looking ahead, I guess to say. But yeah, anyways, let's go, man. What we got? You got the clock hot?
All right, clock is on, so we're going into a sell high or buy low. 7 minutes on the clock.
Yeah, I not much here, man. A quick recap though. You know, my bad on Cooper Kupp. You know, I said, hey, he's coming back. Go ahead and sell him. Get that brand name out. He ain't gonna do it. The boy came back. Him and Matt Stafford, I think I've said it before. Nothing more pure than probably cocaine. You know, that white to white connection right there, those boys are just killing it. Picked
Matt
up right
Stafford
where they left
is.
off, bro.
Matt Stafford is having a really good
Stafford's
season, and no one's talking about it, I feel like. Even in the fantasy
creeping.
realm.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he's healthy, I believe. That's all it is. Like Burrow, too. Hopefully, you will be saying the same about your quarterback in a few weeks that, oh, Burrow's finally 100% healthy. I think that's where Stafford's getting to now, and which is shit, what we seeing. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's an L on me as far as last week's. You know, sell high. I was thinking, let's do it. And you know, another guy we had was Zach Moss. But you know, let's talk about this week, man. I don't know. If you got Jalen Waddle, you know, how are you feeling? You know, I want you. Beans, who's your second wide receiver right now? Your second dog on your fantasy team?
That's a great question because that's like kind of the least
Yeah.
position I'm clued into. I think
Yeah,
Michael.
because I let me know when
Ooh,
you
actually.
pull it up, because
Yeah.
Jalen Waddle, man, you know, he's finally caught a touchdown. You know what I mean? You know, finally had his first game, I think 5 catches. You know, it's a guy that I was saying all along, sell him, and I think you still should. And just because he had a little performance here, you know, you gonna keep him. You know what I mean? But anyway, who you
So.
got? Oh.
My the top dog was supposed to be DJ Moore, and he flashed last week on a huge game,
That's a great one too. Yeah, so very, very comparable, bro. So DJ Moore, I'm happy that's the one you say. Yep, DJ Moore. So same thing. Had a hell of a Thursday night game last week. What, against the Chiefs, was it? Finally on the scene, right? Was there anybody that gave up on him too soon? Do you think you should still give up on him? Because is this game an outlier? This hot game he just had? I mean,
It's
Justin Fields is out now. The RBs are out now. It's, exactly what you think,
definitely an outlier. He ain't gonna score no 50 points like consistently. That's the thing.
Will
And
he have
then
some good production with another quarterback thrown to him? Which I don't
I
even know
hope
who the
so, but
Bears' next quarterback is.
I think ooh, that's a great question. The name is eluding me, but I do know no one that impressive. But it,
A
his
Jag,
production.
just another guy.
Yeah, that's a good way. His production will suffer, but like if he can maintain some kind of 10 points, because he wasn't doing all that great up until the big game. The Bears offense in general wasn't doing all that great. I was gonna say DJ Moore was supposed to be the kind of cornerstone wide receiver piece. We were all expecting big things from the Bears. Michael Pittman has been more consistent for me with the Colts, both, regardless of the quarterback. He's kind of been the number one target in Indiana, so I've benefited
And when
from
you comp
that. Just
compare
last
that
week,
draft position, the oh yeah. What's up, Pittman?
I'm just like, just last week was probably I believe it was his highest since week one. It was 24 points, 14 targets, 9 receptions, 109 yards. Yeah, so playing really well for the Colts.
That's Pittman. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Zach Moss got his due too, splitting carries with Justin Jonathan Taylor. But what I was trying to say is Minshew, I don't know if Minshew gonna throw it 55 times every week. That's he threw it 55 times last week, and that's why everybody got these inflated numbers. But I do like your point on Pittman. And I tell you what, you got Jaylen Waddle. Is that a guy that you think people would give up for a guy like DJ Moore? That almost seems like a fair trade. What about Adam Thielen is the last guy I want to talk about here, because I was trying to get him from Burn All. He actually sent me a trade offer, Laporta, Sam Laporta, the tight end rookie from Detroit, who had 11 targets last week, fighting with Kelce right now for the number one tight end on the fantasy season so far. Sam Laporta for Adam Thielen, who's I think eclipsed 20 to 30 points three of the last four games. I don't know what you think, man. Adam Thielen, he got it? He got it, or is he running out? He running out of that blue pill?
It's hard because we saw last season, and I believe like I traded for him last season actually, and he didn't do well at all his last season with the Vikings. You could say it was an outlier season, or is he getting longer in tooth? But he's clearly the kind of a piece that's being like heavily utilized in the offense as like the number one receiver. But yeah, I don't know, man. That's a good. It's like I think that the for this
What was
season.
the question mark on Thielen, that he was aging? Was that what you were saying after last year and then the
I don't
debacle that
think I
he
never
wasn't
really
living
heard
up
any
to?
of that. I just think it was more of
Oh,
a
a change
symptom
of
of the
scenery is
offense.
good right here.
Change of scenery is good. I think this is the season where he'll probably be most of value in Carolina when they have the smallest pieces of a rebuild and a new quarterback. I'd imagine, through draft, if they keep performing the way they are, they'll probably bring in some new talent where maybe he's not as heavily targeted. And every year is like dog years for a wide receiver or anyone in the NFL at a skill position. So I wouldn't be surprised if the age thing does pick up. I just don't think it's a factor right now, but it's an easy thing to point to because how old is Thielen? He's not
Yeah,
even
31,
30.
32.
Okay, so
No, I
he's
think he's 30. Yeah, I think he
there.
just hit 30 or something like that. Yeah, but shit, he on his second contract, obviously. So it's probably his last one, I think. Yeah. Well, those are kind of my guys right there. Thielen, I would buy, not even buy low for. I would try to buy that motherfucker high. Or else, I mean,
I think it depends on what you
and
need,
Jalen.
right? Because like, so I've got some trades, and it's like, well, I'm pretty set at wide receiver, and yeah, you're giving me a wide receiver that's I'm going from a consistent 15 to a consistent 20, but I'm really hurting at running back. So lots of times when I'm getting trades, like Kyle's been trying to trade with me a lot. We can talk about that when we get to the Balls Deep League, but they're not bad trades, but it's just like I don't really feel
You don't
motivated
need
to.
what you're giving up, bro.
Yeah, I don't really need it. So that's part of that. So like
You
to
can cook,
you,
you
would you
can
do that? I
clean.
wouldn't give away like a number two tight end for Adam Thielen though, if that's what you're asking me. So
Exactly, because that's exactly, yeah. It was tempting at first, man, just looking at the numbers, but you're exactly right. Well, hey, shit. What's up? What's next?
Well, yeah, you got 19, 18 seconds left. We'll just close it out and go on the next topic. The
Yeah,
weekly
brother.
deep sleeper waiver targets. This has been a fun one. And so this is the one where you're going to hear all the same names on all the same podcasts. Hopefully we kind of sprinkle something new or comment on some of the names you have heard. But I know I've heard today, just listening to a lot of the other casts, it's the same names going around on all these
Who?
things.
Let's talk shit about these boys. Who we got? Okay, you talking about Rashee Rice? What are the typical names, huh?
Rashee Rice is probably the biggest one everyone's talking about, as if it's like newfound gold. This guy is still listed as behind Kadarius Toney. Kadarius Toney's getting way more targets, but Rashee Rice doing way more with the few targets he's getting. I
Pour
think
one
he.
out. Let's pour one out for that one, man. Yeah, I like that. Damn.
And th but something I was thinking about, and this is where like a lot of fandoms I see that get really upset with you when as you troll the X-verse there. Fantasy football and real football are two different things. And like, it's easy to sit here and say, "Oh, look at Rashee Rice and how awesome he is, and he's getting 15 points and 10 points. He's so much better than Kadarius Toney." But you don't know Kadarius Toney is still clearly listed above him. He's probably being tasked with way more complex routes or parts of the offense. There's no way Rashee Rice, as a rookie, is maybe he is. I don't know. I would just imagine though that there is more expected out of the veteran player, and so he's maybe in there for like
Out
there's
of your typical veteran player, yeah, you're right. More should be expected out of him in comparison to the rookie.
like
Kadarius Toney,
the
I don't
routes
know.
in the
He's up
NFL
there.
like can be offense gets so complicated in the NFL, just like the option routes that they have to read on the fly versus like a rookie, maybe they're setting him up more for success. So we'll see if he's sustained and maybe he does overtake Kadarius Toney. But either way, yeah, everyone's t kind of pointing that, but that feels like an obvious one. It's still hard though, because in
Well, I
Kansas
wanted to go
City.
against it, man, because yeah, with Rashee Rice, I mean, it's not even just about him. Like you say, fantasy and NFL realities don't mesh. I would say Rashee Rice's success is not because of Rashee Rice. It's because of what's been happening around him. The absence of Travis Kelce, right? The lack of emergence of a wide receiver one. Like none of them are actually doing the damn thing. You know what I mean? Since Tyreek Hill left 2 years ago. Even the RBs, you know what I'm saying? Clyde couldn't, or CEH, he couldn't handle it, take the reins last year. They got to bring in, was Pacheco. And although that guy's speedy and he looked good in the number 10, he's not a complete ball player as well. So that's why I say Rashee Rice is getting it right now, but I don't think it's sustainable. And yeah, I mean, if you ain't paying your free agent budget, go ahead and scoop him up. Or if you already got him, try to dangle him. But yeah, like you say,
Well, the thing I don't like about
he ain't hot shit.
the thing I don't like
Yeah.
about like his name coming up a lot this week is like I feel like not just us, but his name has come up like the past 2 weeks. So again, if you're listening to these shows, you're probably in a competitive league and you're probably in a more like 10 to 12 person league. Unless
Yeah,
you're,
motherfucker's already gone, bro.
yeah,
Is that
it's
what you're
already
saying,
gone.
right?
Yeah, it's already gone. Let's stop talking about it. Like, I mean, you could talk about what would you trade. The more interesting thing would be like he's probably already on someone's team. What would you trade for a Rashee Rice, you know,
Yeah,
that's
there we
more
go. I
interesting to
love it.
me.
I love it.
So, and speaking of trades, we can it kind of bleeds into the balls deep league, but it's I want to touch back on last week. It was a sell high buy low candidate, and I believe it's a buy high. It was a sell high candidate from you. It was Brian Robertson, running back for the Washington
Oh
Commanders,
yeah.
right?
You look like you took some advice, huh? You got him.
I bought high, but I like this trade a lot of just like what I gave up and what I got. I gave away the Dallas Cowboys defense, the number one defense, for a running back that's been performing pretty well, not a staple name, not a kind of big splash trade. You know, I had Kyle in the corner and he was offering me like he was going Austin Eckler for this guy and this package deal, and I just didn't want to give up like big pieces. I kind of just wanted a someone who like a B plus player. I didn't need the home run. Or B minus, just the B. So he fit that bill. And the more that you brought him up, I actually looked into it. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to give him away for the number one defense. I still had the number three defense in the Steelers, so I can luck out. And that number one defense looks really shiny, you know? It's the number one.
I think it was a hell of a win on your side, bro.
But like, I don't think it's a trade rate because I think the Dallas Cowboys are performing almost as good as a player. Like, they'll get
Well,
you.
and Bob wanted a set it and forget it piece at defense.
Yeah, he had the Atlanta Falcons,
And
which I think was ranked
he didn't need Brian
27.
Robinson. Yeah, bro. So yeah, it's
So
a
it worked out
win-win
for
for both
both.
sides.
And I also played a little bit into my father's a big Dallas Cowboys fan. So that's another little
Yeah,
hack you
yeah.
can do if
I tell
pulling
you
the
what, man.
heartstrings.
For those that have trouble figuring that out, even not just Brian Robinson, Curtis Samuel. You know what I mean? If you have Jahan Dotson, I would just drop him. But like these other, like you say, value players. You know what I mean? Those are the two I can think of right now: Brian Robinson, Curtis Samuel. If you're looking for a reason to go commit to him, besides what you just said, think Eric Bieniemy. Remember, Kansas City's offensive coordinator. You're drafting him too. You're drafting that play calling. You're drafting that creativity. Brian Robinson, I think his first last year, man, first half of the season, he had four catches. He had already broke that through six games this year. You know what I mean? I think he had already doubled it. Already got two touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? This is a guy, like I said, four catches, not even 10 yards last year. So the fact that he's getting more involved in the passing game, that means Bieniemy. We saw what Bieniemy did. With his running backs in KC. So, well, yeah, hell of a trade, man. Shit, into this, who did I have? Some deep guys. I don't think Devin Singletary. I think he's still on the waiver wire in a lot of teams. I don't know. He did outtouch Damian Pierce this week. You kind of want to stay away from a backfield that's split. The ceilings are capped, but I don't know. It's something to worth monitoring. Receiver wise, Deontay Johnson, is that an obvious one? Some people might have parted ways with him since he was on IR, but he's coming back. I mean, that guy should be picked up. If not, you should spend your free agency money on him. Josh Palmer, I'm sure people gave up on this guy. Right, he's actually been kind of serviceable as a wide receiver three, man. We're talking about the Chargers boy, kind of filling in with Mike Williams gone. But yeah, these are guys that, based off the rest of their schedule, the rest of their, think about their divisions opponents that they're gonna about to round robin and play again. These guys, they got a set of weak folks coming up on their schedule. I think worth taking a flyer on, huh?
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. Just like when you whether you're looking at like waiver targets or trades, really trades I think is a good one. When you start looking at we have enough data at this point to kind of see what teams are trending in, so you can kind of use that to forecast strength of schedule is what I'm getting at, right? So it's not just like I was looking at a situation where it's Austin Ekeler or Josh Jacobs. Okay, well, who has the easier schedule coming up? And it looks like the Chargers actually have an easier schedule. And then with all the things happening in Oakland, with the quarterback, with the injuries, with the fact that even when all the players are there, they haven't been clicking that well. And you throw in the wrinkle of like harder teams. No, I don't really want that piece. Although Josh Jacobs is a nice player. Like it's nothing against Josh Jacobs. So that's what
Agreed,
I see.
agreed.
So, and Kyle, that's why I didn't like that trade. Just FYI, if you're listening or although I think I did propose Josh Jacobs though, but that was like what kept me out. So I take that back. I was the one who proposed that. Anywho, but he
Man.
also proposed me things like future draft picks, and that's I'm not interested in trading draft picks. But that goes.
Yeah, draft picks are a tricky thing, and it's not even worth it almost, 'cause you're giving up for this year then almost, if you're gonna be trading something. But
So speaking of a target, maybe it's not a deep sleeper, but Gibbs from the Lions there, the running back. We have Montgomery's
it's
going
definitely a
down.
guy, yeah, definitely a guy you could try and buy low, man, because I know he's not on the waiver wire. Is that somebody you would even be willing to part ways with?
May
Just considering how high did you take him,
I think I took him relatively high, and it is disappointing even when he was healthy that he wasn't really getting a lot of action. And then the coach of the Lions came out and said, basically, yeah, Montgomery's the workhorse, and I think that's my philosophy. You should have a guy that does that and maybe a change of pace guy. But it was basically signaling, like, hey, if you draft a Gibbs, he's probably not going to get in there because clearly the coach is going to make the bell cow Montgomery. Montgomery goes down shortly after that. Now the Gibbs is kind of being brought up in conversations again for targeting for this week. Coming off a hamstring, so I forget who's the other running back in that room. It's
If
basically
it's not
Daniel
him,
Jones,
it's gonna be Craig Reynolds. It's gonna be
right?
Craig Reynolds, who was a serviceable guy last year. I think Dan Campbell already said that Reynolds is gonna be involved this year. So whether that's Dan Campbell don't play around, players coach. So what do I mean by that? Usually coaches are gonna use this press conference to talk to their players. So it's pretty much an invitation for Craig Reynolds to like, hey, get your shit right, get ready, next man up type mentality. So I think he's got a very good shot at going just because of Gibbs, like you said, hamstring. We already know that's gonna be iffy, right? So man,
So we
I
got
had some other guys. There was a I forgot this kid's name. Was it Man, it's a shame I forgot, but it's the Rams. It's the next Rams running back after Kyron Williams is out. Is it Davis or? Yikes! Can't get Evans. It's Evans, right? You got all right. Think about it. L.A. Rams, man. Bob actually picked him up. Williams. He's hurt right now. Now you got the next handful. You got another rookie you can get, the Zach Evans kid, or you got Royce Freeman. I don't know if you're familiar with Royce Freeman, veteran presence. So. Just some other deep sleepers there, in backfields that no one has claimed.
So you, sorry, I was looking up the Rams here on the running back depth chart. You have Kyron Williams, Ronnie Rivers, and then Zach Evans. Zach Evans is listed at three. So were you talking about Zach Evans there?
There we go. Yeah, Zach Evans. Yes, sir.
Yeah, sorry, I kind of stole the thunder there. Did you have other players you want to maybe touch on before we go into a week eight stash?
Nah, man. Maybe the last guy, I'd say, hey, this segment might turn into more of who are we going to put our money on, because the choices are obvious and they're out there. It's just which one are we going to go with, right? If you're looking at receiver, this is a good week to get a good receiver. I don't know if Downs, for Indianapolis, Josh Downs is still there. But what to say, this guy last three games with Minshew's averaging 13 points a game. You know what I'm saying? So at least six targets a game. It looks like it's going to be Minshew for the rest of the season. So, we mentioned guys earlier like Pittman, Jonathan Taylor, Zach Moss. Will Minshew throw it 55 times a week? Nah, but hey, this Downs guy looks like the chemistry's there at least. So, but hey, week eight stash.
Well, wait, real quick, what do you think? Because you've shared your opinions on the Giants' offense, and you've traded away Saquon Barkley, and you've commented because it's more of a giving up on the Giants' offense. What do you think about Wan'Dale Robinson, a name that's coming up quite a bit? And go get this guy because it's been 6-9-6, and then played Buffalo. That's a hard team, and now 14 points, and he didn't even have his starting quarterback in. What do you make of
Love it,
last
bro.
week's play?
Yeah, I wouldn't even want to talk about last week. I want to say the only reason this guy's on the waiver wire right now, or that he wasn't on anyone's radar, was because he was coming off that ACL, right? And Beans, we mentioned him last week. You know what I'm saying? It's a cat to stash right here because there's no alpha males in that receiver room for the Giants. Personally, I don't like Brian Daboll, right? One coach of the year. I mean, motherfucker won nine games, man. They gave him coach of the year 9-7. Usually, you guys are 11-5, 12 and whatever. A winning season. They gave this guy, 9-7, gave him the head coach of the year. And look at him this year. I bet they regret it because Giants are looking terrible right now. Wan'Dale Johnson, though. I mean, Wan'Dale Robinson. Yeah. Don't look at, 5'8. Don't look at 185. This is one of those NFL don't translate to fantasy. This guy's getting the touches. This guy's getting the looks. And he played pretty well with Tyrod Taylor. So you already know if Tyrod Taylor's the check down king, or if Tyrod Taylor's the kind, he's gonna pat the ball, pat the ball, pat the ball, wait for the drag to open, wait for the shallow mid route to open. It's gonna be Wan'Dale Robinson on the other
Man,
side of that, man.
so the dangers of watching highlights. I mean, everyone looks good in a highlight film, but I was watching the highlights from the Bills Giants game. That looked like a fun game, man. Really pushing it down the field, and like Wan'Dale Robinson was obviously really involved, but Tyrod Taylor, I thought, played really well. I think it was his last game was with the Houston Texans, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So another Houston Texan connection there. But
I'll tell you, hey, it's a good segue into the stash, man, for week eight. And because Wan'Dale Robinson should still be on the waiver. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, this last week, if you ignored what we told you to ignore earlier in the show, which was don't worry about the defense being red or top, whatever, I mean, that shit really doesn't matter if you got the right player, right? You're not going to start or sit him based off, oh, he's playing the Cleveland Browns, or he's playing the Eagles secondary, or he's blah, blah. You know what I mean? The stout LA Rams D line. So I'm going to bench, my fucking RB1. No, man. Like, but if, here's some, what I'm trying to say, here's some data to back that up, right? We talk about Wan'Dale Robinson, put up them points against the Bills. You got Rashid Shaheed. I think Texans DBs have a good reputation. Shaheed blew him up, Most of that was gadget playing and lining him up all over the field. And then you had Michael Wilson, the Arizona Cardinals. He was playing against a tough Rams, defense, apparently. He'll put up his catches as a wide receiver three with, fuck, who was throwing the ball in the Cardinals, man. I thought it was somebody crazy this week, but. name slips my mind, man. But
what was that?
I didn't.
Quarterback of
AZ
the.
is still Dobbs. It's still Dobbs. Yeah, Josh Dobbs
Right.
for the
Yeah.
Cardinals there. Anyway, stash wise, I gave up on Zach Charbonnet. You remember that name? That's the Seahawks running back right there. That's a kid worth stashing just because of the volume that Kenneth Walker is getting. You feel me? Kenneth Walker's eating. Something happened to him. I'm telling you, this Zach Charbonnet rookie out of UCLA. That's a lotto ticket for you, man. You know, time to pick him back up because they work in Kenneth Walker, and who knows if he's gonna last or not. I hope he does, but another running back, I'll say, kind of deep. You know, not a guy you looking to plug in next week or the week after, but simply because no one on this team has claimed this spot, or I don't think is going to claim the next running back spot. That's Arizona, right? James Conner's on IR. Excuse me. Last week we talked about Amari DeMercado and Keontae Ingram. A lot of free agency money went down. D in our league dropped 40 or 50. You know, at least I think that's 30, 40% of his free agency budget on Amari. I think I scooped up Keontae Ingram free. Keontae Ingram ended up outscoring him. You know, so that's just a lesson learned for our boys this time around. Tonight, who's going to be putting in money for Jordan Mason or Elijah Mitchell? You know, seeing who's going to be the backup to CMC. You know, take a page and look at the Cardinals, how that scenario is playing out. You don't really know what's going to go down. But Damian Williams was the name I'm trying to get to. Might remember him from over on, I want to say the Bears, the Chiefs. I don't know his stats, what he is, but he came off the Arizona practice squad. Like I said, no alpha male in that running back room since Connor's on IR. So we'll see, man.
Stats for Damian Williams there. I looked up, let's see what we got. Against LA, he had 5 points. So 8 attempts, yards
And it's a
36.
motherfucker just this guy coming straight off the couch, man. You know what I
Yeah,
mean? They
so.
don't like those numbers don't pop out, but this motherfucker was playing Nintendo like you and I last week, you know, and he's got 8 carries now, you know what I mean? Shit, so that's
Average
impressive, brother.
4.5 yards a carry. So that's not bad
Hey,
in
man.
PPR, man.
Give me his age, man. Give me his age. I need that Chris Hansen.
Oh, he's 31.
31. You know I like him young. I don't like that.
Yeah, it's like that's
Yeah.
not that young for running back. And it's crazy. That is crazy.
But hey, oh yeah, go ahead, brother.
No. Who do you also got?
I had well, I was gonna kind of switch gears here real quick, and I wanted to go back to the trending up and down of guys we picked the last previous few weeks. We talked about Schultz earlier, right? And to that other fantasy advice that was saying, hey, drop this guy, or you know, pick up another tight end. He's not worth keeping through the bye. I don't know why the fuck he wouldn't be. The guy's had, like we said, 40 yards and a touchdown each of the last 3 games. You know what I mean? Who cares if he's benefiting from Tank Dell's absence? I don't think that's it. It's C.J. Stroud growing every week. It's Bobby Slowick's offense growing every week. I mean, it's yeah.
Yeah,
I
the
think we did
yeah.
right on that one.
Yeah, I mean, and that's easy for us, I think, being more plugged into the Texans offense as Houston guys. But that one isn't actually a surprise because a lot of people, I feel like the move, even as you talked about in the offense, like, oh, athletic tight end going to the Texans, and look at that. And then kind of everyone just stopped talking about it as soon as the season came and started, didn't really do much the first few games. And now it's
Yeah.
trying to. I guess my point is like we're bleeding into the whiskey business, brought to you by Economy Liquor in Galveston, Texas. For all your fine liqueur needs, if retail and commercial needs, you can visit Economy Liquor. Where is that located, Troy?
And it's 1911 23rd Street. You can say 23 and P. That's where you can find me. Come and sip some whiskey. I'll let your boy, man.
So we got a nice Buffalo Trace here, but this kind of bleeds in. Maybe we're not staying great to the topic, but title is whiskey business, and it's really that. It's like so this idea that has come up a bit. So we have a rookie tight end from the Raiders coming up. So I'm going to connect the dots here for everyone. But Michael Mayers, right? Is that who we're talking about? So this is a name that a lot of people are talking about. Like, so we probably could have mentioned in the deep sleep waiver targets. Had a pretty good game last week. Targets are increasing week to week. I think he ended somewhere around 15 points. And so the idea here is people are saying, okay, this guy, talented physical tight end, is going to be a cornerstone piece. Their own Travis Kelce, scoop him up now while you can get him. Now, the point that was made that I disagree with today was that you should drop Dalton Schultz going into a bye week here and pick up this rookie, saying I wouldn't hold on to Dalton Schultz for, you know, taking up a bench spot. But why not? The guy's scored three touchdowns in the past 3 weeks. His touches are increasing. And as the old saying goes, you know, once is lucky, once is a fluke, twice is lucky, three times is, you know, there's something legitimate there. I think odds of something happening a third time are so low that it's more likely to be intentional. So that's what that whole phrase
Hey.
is. Anyway,
Yeah.
so maybe that's a homer take, but I think that that was a kind of a shocking one, and maybe that was just trying to kind of have an edgy take on something too. But no, not killing it,
Yeah.
but it's definitely helping out my team for sure. So
Hey, man, you gonna keep riding it, man. Yeah.
anyway, did you have any other you kind of wanted to revisit maybe some 8 week week seven stashes? Was there anyone you kind of wanted to touch
You know,
on?
besides on Schultz, we haven't really been hitting on the stashes, man. We've been trending down on the stashes. We already mentioned Amari. We told you to grab him or Keontae last week, and either kind of panned out. I talked about Cam Akers, 25% or less snaps, man, the past three games. So, you know, last week I threw out a stat on the Vikings how they were leading the league 69-70% passing plays. Well, here's another unfortunate stat that's basically saying do not get an RB out of Minnesota. You know, and then one guy who just left Minnesota, Dalvin Cook. I just want to say he definitely shouldn't be on the squad, right? There's absolutely no reason. Even as a handcuff to Breece Hall, he wouldn't be worth a damn. You feel me? You got Michael Carter in there, 25, 26, a lot younger, fresher legs. Should something happen to Breece Hall, who's we already know offensive fucking juggernaut. But
It's kind of wild how crazy Dalvin Cook has fallen off the cliff of just like the fantasy world, because it wasn't just, it was 2 seasons ago he was killing it. And I know this because I had him that year and I drafted him again thinking I was going to get the same result. And I got the first like dud last year. It was last year in Minnesota. Now in the Jets, no one kind of assumed that he'd take off where he was at his prime in the Vikings. But this is a little surprising too, just like the lack of production in terms of just, you know, fantasy. I can't really speak to his total stats, but I can't imagine it's very good if the fantasy is this bad.
Hey,
And
well.
I will say on the whole stash thing, I would imagine the stashes are gonna look, that's why there's gonna be a lot of duds because they're called a stash. There's not a lot out there to grab, and they're kind of just like these are best guesses that you could hit on. And I'd imagine those are gonna get harder as we keep going deeper into the season. There's less players out there, there's more injuries out there. So you're gonna have more flyers where it's like, yeah, that stash really
So
didn't pan
something's gonna
out.
stick on the wall.
Yeah. So the idea is like accumulate if you have the room on the bench to kind of allow like to catch that butterfly that just happens to run through your net of points. I don't know if that's a good metaphor or not. But anyway, anything else on the stash? We can even go into balls deep stuff because we kind of already covered the whiskey business hour of the
No, we
moment.
should, man. The last guy I had was probably Kendrick Bourne, a name we ain't heard of out of New England for a while. Probably an offense you want to stay the fuck away from, you know. But the guy's a wild card, man. That is Kendrick Brown, Kendrick Bourne. I mean, the guy can either have fucking two catches with nothing, or he, I mean, like last week, what was it, two touchdowns? Damn. I think what the problem is, Mac Jones, obviously. Bill O'Brien, secondly. Bill Belichick's done, you know, but it's just, I guess, to stay on topic, you know, this guy, I think he's had three games where it's like nine plus targets. You know, he's had two games where he's had at least six catches. You know what I'm saying? He's had two games where he's had at least 19 points PPR. But see, we're in week six, so you already know those other games I ain't mentioned, he's gone the other way too. So very super wild card, but hey, you get him, you play him the right week, this guy's gonna be a difference maker. We'll see though. That's the guy we're stashing right now. See how he develops, if he gets some consistency, or if you're gonna have to do a dart throw with him, you know.
Yeah. Hey, so one question for you. Coming back to, let's just go into the Balls Deep League. We started the show with the question, how are you feeling? What are you, 1-4 right now?
Yes,
S
sir.
still looking up. Here's the thing though. I was looking at the how the league's doing in general. You're sitting at 1-4. I think Vu is still winless, I
One and
believe.
five, one and five. No, shit, yeah,
Oh,
one
yeah,
and
you say one
five.
five, okay. Is Vu winless?
No, he's tied with me.
Okay.
He's 1-5. I'm 1-5. Yeah,
Yeah, so but then we have like a handful of two and
two and fours.
3s, two and
Yeah.
4s, And then, so like, you could still, like, I mean, you just have to like string something together, but your trade with Nico Collins, he scored twice as much he did the previous week, but it's still 12 points, but not terrible. And the funny thing about that was it felt like he contributed way more in the real game versus like the fantasy. Like if you watch the game, it felt like Nico Collins had a great game. And then you looked at the points and
Oh
you're
yeah,
like, and you
man.
were kind of surprised, at least I was, that it wasn't more like around 20. So you looked at it and then it's about like, you know, that's the bad thing about the PPR sometimes too, but he had really meaningful plays and that's probably what it was. He had some
Chain movers and shit.
he had good downfield plays at key moments, so they felt of higher value, and you don't get that in fantasy. You don't get the like points for like it came when they really were like you know, back against the wall, and like that's how they're gonna win, which would be fun
That's that
if
theme.
to put something like that in, but I think it just even complicates it more. But I think that was my takeaway. And then the funny thing is, because I watched a deep ball go to Nico Collins, and then Saints came back and Chris Olave, two guys I know you went to a trade for, and then I went to go look at the plays, I mean the final results, and they were like, eh. So that's got to be frustrating for you. How you feeling?
Yeah, man. Hey, that Saints game was fun because yeah, I had receivers on both ends of the ball, and it was such a shame. It was like a defensive type game, you know, very low scoring, and you know, it is what it is, I suppose. But yeah, me, how I'm feeling, I'm very positive on Olave's involvement. It's just his health, you know what I mean? Every week he starts the week off questionable. You know, like damn, bro. But so far, so good. He's been playing. Same with Nico. You know, Nico's got big body frame, 6'4". Everything we love about a big body receiver. And to see the guy grow up in year three, I'm hoping that keeps going, man. But again, those are more terms you use when you're watching a team and talking about the fan of a team, not necessarily fantasy. I ain't got time to watch motherfuckers grow up in fantasy. You
Yeah,
know?
yeah. And it does
Yeah.
it, I mean, it is a we were talking earlier off air, I believe, but like the fandom part, you likes the idea of like you have Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and Dalton Schultz, but then the fantasy manager is like, how do I really depend on one of these guys? Because it seems like one of these guys is going to kind of be the standout.
Go off at the other cost of the other one. One player's going off at the cost of the other, you know?
Yeah, because like neither one of them are so cornerstone pieces where teams are probably lining up and like this is the guy we got to double. So like just I think it just naturally produces it's going to change hands of who has the hot game. Which again, if their floor if all their floor is like 7 to 10, and then when they have that hot game is to 20, that's still good. I'll ride with that. That's fine. I'll take that 10 points, that 8 points. But anyway, what other stories do we have in the Balls Deep League? We had some trades go down. Did you have any trades happen this past week?
No. But shit, I know we just talked about yours, the Brian Robinson one. I want to see what else was on here,
We
man.
did. Kyle really wants Gibbs from me, so he was trying to put together some packages that would entice me. A lot of his deals involved maybe wide receivers and then maybe my 7th round pick for next year. I didn't like that because it's my keeper pick. I don't want to give up my keeper pick. And then it also had some like some fabs in there, maybe like a $50, which I'm not too keen on either. Like I rarely make moves with with the fab purchase, and when I do,
You don't need the money, right?
I'll just make like two or three. So how I like to manage it, and that's a good conversation. We will end on this. How do you look at your fab budget first? Because for me, I look at that and I'm just like, okay, I'm not going to get a lot of players, and I'm not about to just spend $5 here, $5 there to like never win a player. So when I do it, I do tend to come out with a good chunk of change for that. It's usually if a player I feel really convicted on, like might be a good keeper, or you know, a good example is the tight end from the Raiders, right? Like, okay, I'm not going to drop Dalton Schultz for it, but I've had the roster spot. I'm going to throw some cash at it to see if I can pick him off of waivers. I'm not going to like exchange him for a good player I already have. And then I like to really save it for going into the playoffs. So if you can hang on and just, you know, become a playoff contender, get into that dance. And then when everyone's on injuries and all rosters are decimated, that's where you come in. We have a $200 budget. That's where you come in with your $200 and you just drop fat cash on a player to like make sure you can really solidify your team for the playoffs.
For the
That's what I
playoffs.
usually do. So
Yeah, I'm same way. I'm same way. Yeah, I'm just waiting for the player, man. In previous years, though, I'd like to spend it in the first 3 4 weeks. I like to think, all right, who's that RB that's gonna spring up and carry you the rest of the season? The problem is, I think with IR this year, we start to see more of those running backs spring up because, hey, let me send my player off to IR. Except now you don't lose them for the whole year. IR, they can come back after 4 weeks, right? So it's what I mean is, it's just a lot more people getting cycled through there, and I agree with your strategy, man. That's how I do it. What we've been seeing though successfully, other people, Steve, pretty much blowing his own budget. But who'd he get? He got Puka. Fuck, he got someone else, man. I know he got someone else. But yeah. And then you see some people miss with this budget spending free. D, you know, drop 40 or 50 in Amari. Bob dropped it on Kyron Williams. I mean, that was a hell of a buy week one. I think $59. I know because I didn't drop anything, but I just knew, like, yeah, that guy might be a league winner right there. But yeah, man, gotta keep that money, man.
I'm trying. I don't think there's anything big that's popping down.
Nah, man.
We should.
NFL wise, I mean, what's up? What's up?
No, as I say, I should probably keep track of the trades, and maybe that's something we could probably routinely review
Yeah,
on
put
the
up every
policy.
week. Yeah. Well, the only other trade, I mean, that was a good one with you and Bob, man. The Dallas Cowboys defense for Brian Robinson. The only other one that happened, it was D and Vu. And that reminded me of the Brock Osweiler trade where the Texans sent Brock Osweiler to Cleveland, and Cleveland pretty much bought out that contract, Brock's contract, you know, and received, I think, the Texans second round pick or some shit like that.
What was
What
in
I
their
mean
trade?
was this trade was what Vu and D. I believe D needed some more free agency budget money. So D was out of money for free agency, you know, to bid. So he gave away AJ Dillon and Courtland Sutton for like $50. Yeah. $50 and Tyler Higbee, who he tried to
That's
turn around and
$50
sell
and a
to
hand
Cleveland.
job.
Hey, yeah. So I mean that's yeah. Hey, with the NFL I didn't have much, but Eagles were undefeated, they lost. Niners were undefeated, they lost. You know, I don't want to touch on Houston too much like we do, but remember CJ Stroud 2, Bryce Young went 1. The Panthers are 0-5 right now, not looking good. The head coach there was always conversations that Frank Reich liked the big body type quarterback, not the, you know, fucking middle school looking camp counselor Bryce Young size type. So it's starting to come out now. I'd say, you know, his last press conference talking about there are different types of owners. Some are hands-on, some back off. And he's basically saying the Panthers guy's up his ass right now.
Yeah, the famous what is it, Bill Parcells line? It's like he didn't get to buy the groceries, but he's having to cook the dinner.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Yeah,
Parcells.
yeah. I heard that one, and I've also heard the rumor of like, well, they're having a dumb like, you know, simplify is the word, simplify the playbook for Bryce
Oh,
Young.
God.
But that, I mean, man, it's kind of
I
sad to
thought
see
that boy
like.
scored high on that S2 test, man.
Well, as I say,
Shit.
it's kind of crazy how everyone, not just the fans or whoever, but how quickly the narrative is, can turn on a player. Like, okay, it's not all on him, clearly, surely. I haven't watched exclusive game tape of the Panthers. Can't all be that bad. So anyway, it's just funny how like all of a sudden now it's like, oh, the Texans messed up. Well, you've even shared the Lovie Smith meme about like, you know, thank you, Lovie, for winning the game, which caused us to go to the number two pick, caused us not to get Bryce Young, because everyone was
When
like,
everybody was crying all off
everyone
season,
wanted
like,
Bryce Young.
ugh.
So it's still early. Bryce Young is probably going to be a good player, man. But it's just how everyone's trying to write that narrative and write that headline, like, oh, Bryce Young is could be a
Does depend
bust.
where you land, brother. It just depends where you land, and
It did. I think Stroud
I'm
landed in a
glad this
great
is considered
situation.
a good spot. Yeah, I'm glad, yeah.
All right, man. Well, we got a little bit of time left for some what's happening. We
Yeah,
didn't really have
let's
anything
close it
last
out.
time. Yeah, but like this is just a fun kind of pop culture section for us to talk about anything we want to.
Man, I got a problem with fucking basketball games being played in football stadiums to break attendance records. I don't understand that shit, man.
Who's doing this? I'm missing this. Tell me more.
The Iowa women's NCAA women's basketball team, you know, the girls that lost to LSU and in the NCAA championship last year, and they're trying to, you know, pit old black girl Angel Reese with old white girl from Iowa. And anyways, yeah, Iowa came back, played this year, broke an attendance record for most people at a, I guess, a women's basketball game or a college game or something by basically setting up a court in the football stadium, in the Iowa football stadium, and playing basketball. I guess I'm just a hater. I don't know.
You don't like that?
I don't like that,
I don't
man.
mind
For
it.
attendance records, I mean, yeah, I don't mind. It don't hurt my feelings, I
Because like
guess,
their
but
venue can't support the people that want to come see it. I mean, whatever. If they can get enough people in it.
But that's the thing. That's what I mean. They didn't. The stadium was still like, shit, at least 30% empty, you know?
Oh, really? So like
Yeah,
they
but they
did.
still beat attendance record because, you know, a basketball arena only fits so much, a collegiate one at least. But yeah, anyways,
Yeah.
what you got, man? Shit.
Well, you know, the only thing I know probably more than Marvel movies is Tesla vehicles, and the Cybertruck I know is one that me and you both have the reservation on, and
Yeah, man, I want my
we're
100 back, man. I'm
you
supposed to get this truck 2 years ago, brother.
that's it's all right, man. It's gonna be great. So apparently they're supposed
Yeah.
to have a delivery event announcement starting this October, but it's expected, like, there's probably only be for the end of the quarter here, they're probably only gonna make like 200 or 300 trucks, and they're probably largely all going to employees or people that are very close with Tesla or SpaceX employees, kind of that thing. That's usually what they do when they launch a new vehicle. They for just in case, like, all the rough things that could go wrong in the initial launch of a new brand new vehicle. So you're more likely to kind of start seeing real customer, like you and I, deliveries starting the beginning of 2024 in the new year. That said,
Damn.
the waiting list for this thing is like 2 million people now. They're saying there's like 2 million, I believe, orders.
Damn.
And so I thought I ordered like week one. I looked back and I ordered like 6 months after the initial event. So I think I'm penciled in somewhere around like 250,000. So they're already saying like in a year, they're probably only going to make, like, at the top, they're going to try to get 300,000. But in their first year of
Damn.
2024, they'll probably only hit like maybe 180, 150. So here's the next thing. A lot of people are basing this off of like the sequence of your reservation number. Like, that's where you are in line. It's not as simple as that. It's not as simple as saying, okay, so Troy, even when you put yours in, I think the orders were closer to 500,000 at that point. Because I remember talking to you about it. And so you would say, like, okay, if that's the case, I'm not getting a truck until like the end of 2024 or the beginning of 2025. The wrinkle is, I live in Austin, you live in Galveston. Tesla does have a history of kind of also onboarding customers who are closest to their HQ. So the truck is being made in Austin, and it's a similar idea with the customers. It's like, we're going to give it to customers in case, I mean, employees, in case there's issues. That way we can kind of remedy those. Same thing, they'd rather give those trucks to people who live in Texas, in Austin, who, if you have an issue, you can come to the factory, they'll fix it.
Quick,
Because it's not just a brand new vehicle for them, it's a lot of brand new design, it's a lot of brand new engineering that they're doing. It has rear wheel drive, there's a lot of complexity to it. So there's a lot of good reasons why they would want to do something like that. So anyway, there's a lot of Tesla people out there trying to connect the stars or connect the dots and find out when they're getting their truck. We don't know. The good thing is, with that time, you have money, time to save, because it's going to be more expensive than if you really want it, you're best off to save. But I thought this too. I was going to tell my wife, but she doesn't want to hear me talk about Cybertruck shit. Even if you're not in the position to maybe afford it, or if you don't want to pay for it, like if I get called in 2024, like, hey, we have a Cybertruck for you, you want to take it? I'm taking that either way, because I can just turn around and sell that for a huge markup because there's 2 million freaking orders. Someone's gonna pay like over 10 grand
Yeah,
for
somebody
it.
want theirs now, huh?
Some rich person will like overpay for that. And that happens every time. Like, that happened with the Model 3, the Model X. People do that. They'll just like take orders
Oh shit,
and
huh?
they sell them. And
Damn,
that's
bro.
why Tesla will like make sure like you can only put an order in for like one car or two cars or something like that. A lot of people did spam it, but either way. So the whole Cybertruck thing is, we're right around the corner from announcing like it's out there. And you're just gonna start seeing them more on roads, which is pretty cool looking. The funny thing is, I'm in Austin. I still haven't gotten to catch one in life. It's like a rare Pokemon around here.
Yeah,
But
you will though. Shit.
I've seen it like on X. People are posting like in places where I saw it. I
Oh
could.
shit, that they're catching it, commuting and shit. Damn.
Yeah, they're catching it a lot of on the trucks heading out of Austin, going out to California. Because right now it looks like they're making all these trucks that are heading out are being used to test they're taking it like off-road. There's videos out in California where people are like on off-roading tracks and they're running into like Cybertruck. There's people on road trips running into Cybertruck, like in Michigan. So they're testing it out all over the states. They've been testing it out all over the world. So they've had a few years to work on it. So I'm excited, man. That's all I gotta say.
Hell yeah. Shit.
But
I'm down. I can't wait, man. What y'all be for Halloween, man?
gonna be Luigi, and AJ's
Oh,
gonna
no
be
shit.
Mario. He loves Mario. I'm growing a mustache, so it only
Oh,
makes sense.
shit.
I think Ryan,
Nice.
our 7th-month-year-old, is gonna be Bowser. We're gonna dress him up as a baby Bowser.
Oh, shit. Nice.
And then Amber will be Peach, so we'll be the whole Mario clan. What about
That's gonna
you?
be badass. I don't know yet, man, but that's why I was looking at most popular costumes based on Google. A Barbie, princess, Spider-Man, a witch, a fairy, Wednesday Addams,
A
dinosaur,
fairy.
cowboy, ninja, bunny. That's it. Yeah. Oh, popular costumes for couples, babies and dogs. Barbie and Ken. Number two is Mario Luigi. All right. Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, I
Okay.
think Mario's gonna be a popular one just because of the
Oh, because of the
movie.
movie, huh? I got it. Okay. Same
Yeah,
with Barbie. All
so we'll see. We'll see what happens out there.
right.
But you know, man, I think that was another good episode. Thank you for
Yeah,
sitting with
brother.
me on a Tuesday evening. I'll try to get this one out lickety split. I'll be out in New York this week, but I'm gonna be back.
What? Damn.
I'll be back in time for week 8 episode. So I'll be back on Tuesday. We'll film the Tuesday at night episode. Just to continue to add more
Oh shit!
polish.
You got a wedding?
Yeah, my sister's having a ceremony. She's already
Yeah.
married, got married in COVID, but they did the whole courthouse
Yeah.
marriage thing. Now they're actually gonna have a nice little ceremony. We're gonna go
Yeah,
out. My
Bob was
fa
telling me about it. Yeah.
yeah, some of my family, on my mother's side, they own a wedding venue out there, and you know, a really nice area. So they've offered to host us, but we all have to pay to get out there, and we're taking the family. It's gonna be a whole
Okay.
shenanigans, but you
All
know,
right, bro.
a lot of logistics
We'll
going
talk
down.
soon then, bro.
Yeah.
We'll talk soon.
All right, man. Well, have a good one.
Love you,
Take
man.
care. Tell the family I said hello.
Same.
Peace, Daddy.
Said, okay, baby, let me see that bra panties. Let me see these go, and I like them sand dollar size areolas. Oh,
Let me explain. Hoes on the brain. She's on the dick. I'm coming quick, and I can't even refrain. Let me explain.